When God says, I love you, I said, it's not a feeling. He brings you out of the mess and places you right in his seat of authority. So when God says, I love you, God is not having just an emotional expression. No. What he's saying is, I'm giving you something that makes you exactly like me. It's an enthronement. Because this is what Paul, by the Holy Ghost, commands in marriage. You gotta love unconditionally. We do not struggle to love. It is our nature, just like our father. Meaning that we can actually love unconditionally. It gives you God's perspective of you when he says, I love you. It ain't taking no new record of sin. If we fellowship with him and with his word, he said the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. True fellowship, not just in confession, true fellowship in that place of worship, in that place of studying the word. Hallelujah. Now, we're looking at today the power of love. The power of love. And we understood that when God says, I love you, is different from when a man says, I love you. When a man says, I love you, there are three things that comes to mind. You want to ask yourself, what kind of love? Because the Bible defines three kinds of love. It talks about lust in the book of James chapter 1. Let no man think that, you know, he's tempted with evil. He said, because before sin is born, it starts with lust. Okay, now that's eros. Now, when promiscuity is the other of a relationship whereby there's no commitment and involvement other than that, of course, that's eros. Okay, now, there is another definition for love which has to do with human relationships. That is relationship that leads to partnership, either in marriage, business, or whatever form. It's called filial. Now, when you talk about filial is a love or likeness, actually, that brings commitment. As long as the conditions for such a likeness is born. So when a man says, I love a woman, he's actually saying, I filial her. Meaning that, well, say, why? Say, she's compatible with me. We share the same dream. I feel this and I feel that. You know, that's filial. It brings you to commitment. But you see, filial can be unhealthy if we stay around it. Filial can bring us together for any kind of relationship, but it cannot stay and should not stay as a continuity in the relationship. Now, this is why people break out. This is why divorce is set in. This is why people feel hurt by relationships. Because a woman feels cheated, a man feels, you know, downgraded or dishonored. When you tamper with a man's pride by insulting words, you know, you undress the man's ego or ego because you feel you want him to get something. Say, ah! Then you start hearing, I don't love him anymore. I don't love her anymore. Say, why? Well, you see, this was not what I thought about. He's changed. She's changed. Now, something begins to happen to the emotion of that individual. The affection that such a person has towards that individual, be it a male or a female, or of same gender, begins to dwindle. Filial is a relationship that also binds siblings. It begins to dwindle. When those conditions for acceptance, those conditions for likeness is tampered with, people tend to lose commitment. People tend to retrieve from the relationship because that's filial. Praise God. And that's why I said that when filial can birth true filial, that's natural likeness. Say, why you think? Say, Pastor, I just like him. I just like him. We just flow. He's good. But don't stay there. Because the day will come where those conditions can be tampered with. And then things can really go wrong. Praise God. Now, there is a third kind of love that the Bible defines. Romans chapter 3, say, while we're yet sinners, Christ loved us. Now, this kind of love disregards who you are. It disregards your commitment to it. Meaning you can be unfaithful. The Bible says, even though we are unfaithful, God remains faithful to us. You can be unfaithful. You can be weak. Things can be wrong with your involvement with that relationship, but nothing changes it. Nonetheless, that love can discipline. Praise God. When it disciplines, it's not passing vengeance. It's not passing anger. It is disciplining you to improve you. Praise God. And you read Romans chapter 12 all through. You see the Bible talking about the love of God chastising us through authority to improve us, not to push us aside. When failure feels offended or hurt, the response is revenge. The response is hate. Something is done in a way that the pain you feel must be passed. That's what we can see siblings doing so many terrible things to themselves. We can see husbands wounding their wives so terribly, and wives can't take it and kill themselves or kill the husband, and relationships just go sour and terrible things happen. That's a world of filial. Now, what's the difference between filial and eros? I'm taking you somewhere. In eros, there is no form of commitment. I'll give an example. The Bible tells us how the sister to Absalom, the daughter of David. Now, when you read about David's life, David was so blessed with handsomeness, I think it was in his family. Remember when Samuel saw his brothers, the guy was taken aback with handsomeness. Everyone qualified to be a king, both in appearance, in stature. There was just this, God just blessed the Jesse family with beauty. They thought they'd seen all, but basically when Samuel saw, imagine a shepherd boy, somebody who's grown in the bush. He came out with that bushy shepherd boy's appearance, and the Bible says he was ruddy. He was a red, I mean, the guy had a color of his hair that was not common among the Jews of his time. He was beautiful to behold. And that passed into his family, all his sons. Praise God. When Absalom was gone, the Bible talked about another son. They were all good to behold. Praise God. Now imagine the daughters. What would they look like? If the boys were so handsome, imagine what the daughters would have looked like. Now, Absalom had a sister that was so beautiful that her brother, her stepbrother, of course, born from another wife, lusted after her. He was so much in love that he was sick. Praise God. His best friend was like, guy, you're not eating. You're losing weight. Amazingly, the sister was close to him. The guy couldn't control himself. So the friend said, what is wrong with you? He said, you know what? I think I'm in love with my sister. I can't leave that. He said, okay, why not ask the king? Since you are like this, ask the king. Bad friend. Ask the king that she should come feed you. They have your way with her. Now, the king hears that, oh, my son is sick. He said, dad, nothing's going to heal me. I just want my sister to come take care of me. At least let her put food to my mouth. Let her feed me from her plate. I'll be better. And of course, the father said, oh, is that what will make you better? In innocence, send her in. And she gets in with the plate. And she begins to feed him. He begins to make advances. She said, hey, I know you love me. Okay, let's get to dad. Let's get married. He will permit it. I can see that. Don't do this. The guy said, no, no, I can't hold back. I can't hold back. I love you. I love you. And pressed on her. The Bible said the moment he had an affair with her, her countenance was that of hatred. The same guy that could not sleep and eat for days, all of a sudden, everything he ever said, every imagination he ever had, I can't do without her, disappeared. Whew. Contract was over. Sent her out of his room. That was eros, no commitment. The moment that burning passion is done, that's all. That's all. And there are many that way who go in the name of Christ and meet young ladies and I'll marry you. And do that rubbish. And you say, I love him. You say, let's get to know ourselves. Knowing yourself that way, you are in trouble. There's no commitment. And many have pierced themselves that way. That's the difference. It never stays. It is ready to trade anything. If it's the money you want, it will give you the money you want just to get what it wants. The day is over, it's over. But I thought you said, love who? Get out of my face. Praise God. That's eros. But this third kind of love is called agape. In agape, there is acceptance be without condition. Acceptance without condition. Now, agape is God's kind of love. Now, I'm going to explain that so you understand it. When you say God loves me, the Bible says in John, I think chapter 2, is it 11 now? Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than for a man to lay down his life for his friends. Who did he call friends? He said, I call you no more. Thank you, John 15. He said, greater love had no man than this, than a man to lay down his life for his friends. Who did he call friends? The same men who were his servants. Praise God. He gave several parables describing God's love. Several parables, all through the Synoptic Gospels, about a man who had a rich man who wanted to a feast, invited friends, they wouldn't come. So he goes inviting beggars and gives them the treatment of royalty. That's genuine love. Praise God. I said, praise God. I want us to look at something, Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. You are the reason why I live. You are the reason why I move. You are the reason I'm alive today. Jesus, you're the reason why, and I surrender all to you, oh God. I surrender all. Shamalama Komba Alama Sambra Dilapas. The Lord just took me in a vision. Someone has been having this abdominal unrest just where my hands are, down to your waist region. And I also heard the Lord say, your urine, there's been difficulty with urination, and you're in this service, we're having urination inconsistencies. I can't really place what it means by that, but the difficulty in urinating. Okay, is that too much of it, or you're having difficulty to pass it out? And the Lord said to tell you to prepare, because as I'm speaking right now, the healing has started. When it comes to time of communion, God is going to purge your system all through this week. You will notice that healing has started taking place. It's a gradual process. gradual process. For yours is a gradual process. But you notice that healing has started. The pain, the discomfort, as I'm speaking right now, is going. And the Lord said it's an arrow. Don't accept it as a state of hell that came. It's an arrow. And that devil is gone from your system. Yes. Yes. It was meant to destruction, but God is turning around for good. And every joint pain, every joint pain, lift up those hands wherever you feel the pains. Just lift it up, do a twist, and thank the Lord and prepare, because healing has started everywhere. Praise God forevermore. Why not wave your hands and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, I want you to see something. And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, look at it. That was when we were. We didn't even know God was making provision. No man deserved it. No man asked for it. But the Bible says, God, who is rich in mercy, hallelujah, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, for his great love, he saw this being lost and wallowing in destruction, and he looked down and saw a king inside it. There was no condition we could meet to deserve the death of his son, Jesus Christ. There was not one. Remember, when he gave them the law, he sent the prophet to tell them, for your righteousness as filthy rags. If you think it's by do's and don'ts you're going to end God's righteousness, he says filthy rags. That's why he said you are saved by grace, not of works. You're going to see it here. That's the love of God. You know, some of us have been bamboozled. Let's see, the reason why Satan is doing this in your life is because of what you did against God. Turn away. No! The wrath of God is not on us now. The blood of Jesus has been, that was why he died. He was the penalty. The penalty for God's offense that could touch you. Praise God forevermore. He said, even when we're dead in our sins, has he quickened us? To quicken means to make alive. Quickened us together with Christ. Look at this. By works you are saved. That was on your screen. He says, by what? By grace ye are saved. Not by your works. How? By his great love wherein he loved us. That's love. He looks at your mess and says, yes, you're a mess. I'm not happy with your mess, but I see that you have ability in you. He doesn't give up on you. Praise God. Is it by grace you're saved? Verse 6. And has raised us up together. Somebody say, hey, but the Bible says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It didn't stop there. But being justified freely by grace. There's a justification that was paid for freely. He said, your works, all our works, by nature from when Adam fell, were condemned, were unacceptable. But being justified freely. Freely. That was love. Jesus said, for God so loved the world. He loved the world of sin. He didn't love the sin in the world, but he loved the man, and he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not end up in condemnation. You know, some of us think the wrath of God, that God is holding a fat rod, waiting for any wrong you do. Oh, boom! Did you read the Bible? For God is love. Go read 1 Corinthians 13. That's the definition of love. God is love. The Bible says he does not think of evil. He desires no evil of anyone. So stop thinking that God is somewhere holding a rod. Oh God, is it because of the thing I've done now? He has no business with that. He cannot think evil of anyone. Look at it. Verse 5 says, he's not even easily provoked. That's God. Now, when a man comes and says, I want to marry you, I love you, you got to ask him, are you easily provoked? Can you really love me? Praise God. Because this is what Paul, by the Holy Ghost, commands in marriage. You got to love unconditionally. Nothing is too bad or too good to be acceptable. And only the Holy Ghost can produce that in your hearts. Now, the beautiful thing in Romans chapter 5 verse 5 is that the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts. Meaning, that is our nature now. We do not struggle to love. It is our nature just like our Father. Meaning that we can actually love unconditionally. We can relate with everyone, irrespective of their wrongs, irrespective of their flaws, and walk through it and be undaunted in how we receive them in our hearts. There's not like, see, I would have thrown you away, no, we're exactly like our Father God. Say hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I sense the anointing right now. I rebuke every back pain and chest pain now in the name of Jesus. Someone who's been having this reoccurring heartburn. They told you, you take this thing, you know, it's what's triggering it. I command that thing to die now from the roots. You will never need drugs or it again in the name of Jesus Christ. Get me to Ephesians chapter 2 that we're wearing. You are the reason why. And had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is big. When God says, I love you, I said it's not a feeling. He brings you out of the mess and places you right in his seat of authority. Look at it there. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. That in the ages to come. And these are those ages. We've come there now. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Look at this. What do you mean by the exceeding riches of his grace? In his kindness to us, toward us, through Christ Jesus. Do you understand what it means? He said, God wants to show the riches of his acceptance, his pardon, by his kindness. In this month of August, you will know God's goodness in your life. He's talking about the blessing. Say this, I will never be broke in my life. I will grow from glory to glory. The kindness of God is upon my life. Look at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. What do you mean faith? It tells you, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 to 10. As simple as that. That believing that when you make that declaration, you have a new experience with God. He said that is the faith. He said that's what gives you access. Glory to God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Did you see that? That's the power of love. So when God says, I love you, God is not having just an emotional expression. No. What he's saying is, I've given you something that makes you exactly like me. It's an enthronement. It means he's saying, I see who you really are, not what you are, who you really are. And he reaches out to you without a condition. Let me show you that. Romans chapter 4. Give me Romans chapter 4. Let's read from verse 3. Give me verse 5. Okay, let's read from verse 3 now. I think it gives a good start. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, to him that walketh. You know, some people say, work out your salvation. It's true. But what do you mean, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? It's not the way we see it. You got to compare scriptures with scriptures. Look at what it says. To him that walketh is the reward, not record of grace, but of debt. What does it mean? He already told you, if you're going to go by the law, if you violate one, you're going to be judged of all. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do this. It's not for the Christian. It's been abolished in Christ. Read down to the end of Ephesians chapter 2 on your own. You understand what I mean? Praise God. Now, but to him that walketh not. In Hebrews chapter 5, it tells you to enter into that rest. There's an entry. He said, and he that has come into the rest has ceased from his labors. Are you see here? But him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly. Did you see that? This is love. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. That is all God says, believe in my grace. Believe in my grace. He's not carrying a rod. You've done a new wrong today. You're going to... No! He said, just believe in my grace. I know your frailty. Believe that my blood is there consistently for you. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Even as David also described it. You know, David was a man that in the place of worship, he caught a lot of revelation. But the Bible tells us that you were wondering what time and season. All these things about the things you are saying can't be, because in the law, the son that sinned shall die. Blah, 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 blah. Every mistake brings a judgment. And then when they will stay in the place of worship, they will prophesy about the time. And man said, they began to wonder, what time exactly would this kind of people have a relationship with God, where there is no condemnation? What time would it be exactly when God will live with men as one? They were searching diligently, the Bible says. Went to Peter. He said, even the angels wonder when they see us. So really now, God can really live inside a man. That thing that he could not tolerate. But that's what the blood of Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. Look at it. Even as David also described it, the blessing of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. Impossible without Jesus. Is it David trying to describe the man? That God can say, you are righteous. You don't need to do nothing else. Hey! To be declared righteous means you are acceptable and holy before his sight without blame. That is what righteousness means. It means God has accepted you as holy, without blame and faultless, so that you can lift up holy hands anywhere and it should not be a condemnation. It means right standing with God. Say, I have a right standing with God through Jesus Christ. Verse 7. Saying, it's even as David described the blessing of the man, okay, who God will impute righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they. Oh, glory to God. It's a blessing. Shout out, I'm blessed. So, so blessed. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. You see that? You didn't do anything for it. He said, God is, David is trying to describe this man to whom God gave his righteousness without works. He said, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. The word covered, you know, the translators got confused. They didn't know how to put it. It actually read, whose sins are blotted out, cleansed from the slate, no trace. They couldn't take it. They were not born again, the translators. So when they're translating it, they had to find something close within the same Greek word environment. And they say covered. No, he didn't cover our sins. He took it away completely. Say, blessed are those whose sins are taken away. Praise God. Read verse 8. Now look at this, and this is the bigger one. You thought verse 7 was good enough. They say, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Meaning, God is never going to hold you guilty. John chapter 5, John said, he cannot sin. The righteous man cannot sin because the seed of God is in him. It gives you God's perspective of you when he says, I love you. It ain't taking no new record of sin. There's only one person we know, and he warns you about him. He said, be sober, be vigilant. Your arch enemy, Satan, is going around seeking whom to devour. And what does sin do when it comes to your life? It robs you of your confidence of fellowship. That's what it does. The problem is not God. The problem is what happens to your relationship with God. Look at it. Even from the beginning, it was so. Adam disobeyed God and ran. Man is already the one running when he sins. The Bible says God came in the cool of the day. Was he blind all the while? His eyes are upon the earth. But there's only one thing, God is blind to sin. So he doesn't even know when you do it. He gets to know when your confidence dwindles in fellowship. And that's why he gave us Jesus and his blood. In 1 John chapter 1, he said, if we fellowship with the Father, he said, for our fellowship is with the Father and is with his Son, Jesus Christ. Then he said, if we have fellowship with him and with his word, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. True fellowship, not just in confession, true fellowship, in that place of worship, in that place of studying the word, in that place of listening to the word, you are cleansed. Cleansed. That's how he cleanses you. That's how he cleanses you. Now, look at it. In John, I think John, when Jesus began to talk to them just after Lazarus was resurrected, he began to talk to them. He said, that was John 13. He had sent, what's his name, away. Judas has gone. And he begins to talk to them. And he said, listen to them, this. He said, till now, these Jews were not condemned. He said, but because light came and they refused to receive me, now they are condemned. Then he turns to the disciples. He said, but not you. He said, you are cleansed. They didn't perform any ceremonial ritual. They didn't say, oh God, forgive me my sins. Everything I've committed. Oh, blah, 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 blah. Look at it. John 15, verse 3. He said, now are you clean through the word which I've spoken to you. Meaning, as you receive the word, a cleansing is taking place. That's what David said. Wash me with hyssop that I may be clean. God's word is a cleansing agent. As we fellowship with it, we are cleansed. The same way when you come into his presence, instead of looking for the sin that is known and unknown. The Bible never told you to look for it. It was taken away. You get there and say, Father, thank you for your cleansing blood that has been shed on the cross of Calvary for me. Oh, glory to God. It tells you to come boldly into the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy. He said, have your conscience purged by the blood of the Lamb. It purges you as you worship, as you minister to Him. You get purged, you get cleansed, and you have access into the holies of His presence, which dwells inside of your spirits. Oh, I wish I could go on, but for the sake of time, we'll stop here. Why not lift up your hands and glorify His name and just thank Him for His great love. Thank you for His great love wherein He loved you. He loves you unconditionally. He's called you into His sight. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just glorify His name while we worship Him. I want to read out Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 3 to 6. Just glorify His name while I read that to you. Oh, Ramas subredine makas, ende bas gabandra ila pas andre ila paskas, zupredine zakaya. Thank you for your great love. Thank you for your great love. Thank you because you do not impute sin against us. Thank you for the cleansing of your blood upon our conscience. Thank you because the hold of iniquity has been destroyed. Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1, I said. Oh, Ramas subredine kas maharadigas. Menda rabas kumdre binaus kubra inadas. From verse 3, I said. Baronsko zovrenigas, zombredinigas sabractus. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly place in Christ Jesus, according as He has chosen us. This is what we're talking about. He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world. Did you see that? He saw something in you when you were not born yet. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Listen, somebody says, see, it's, no, get it. It's the same thing David said that we read in Romans chapter 4. He already ordained it that when I accept you in love, you are holy in my sight. And without blame. Same way Paul said, unto him that is able, oh hallelujah, to keep you from falling. He not only brings us in, He also keeps us from falling. If we can believe and trust Him with our lives. How so many times many of us fear His ways for our life. Oh, if I go this way, will something happen? Hallelujah. He says He's able to keep you from falling. Somebody prays every day, oh God, guide me from sin today. I don't want to fail you. I don't want to disappoint you. It's unnecessary. He says God is able to keep you. Look at this. Jude verse 24. God is able to keep you from falling and to present you. How? Who does the presenting of you to Him? Himself. He said to present you faultless before Him, before the praise of His glory with exceeding joy. He's bringing you to Himself with joy and not looking for fault in you. He says He's able to keep you from falling. Every day you wake up, oh God, I thank you for today. I submit myself to your leading. You're the one that keeps me from falling and from stumbling. And to present me holy and faultless before you in love. And I thank you because I walk in the fullness of your glory today, experiencing your goodness and your kindness, and coming in contact with those I'll be a blessing to. You stay in that realm, you will find the presence of God increasing and the joy of the Holy Ghost exploding in your spirits. Not the other way around. Not the other way around. Get me back again to Ephesians chapter 1. He not only accepts you, He keeps you. Oh, glory. He has chosen you. He said, haven't chosen us before Him, the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. before him in love. Verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. Did you see that? When he sent his son Jesus to die, he was looking at all of us becoming his children. He saw the thief. He saw the weakling. He saw that you, wherever you found yourself, he saw you in Christ. So he sent his son. He said, go there. When you die, they're going to become my sons. What kind of sons? We'll look at that on Sunday. Praise God. But Jesus Christ said, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Look at this. Wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. I came to tell you today, you're God's beloved. You're not just only loved by him, you have become his beloved. And there's one thing we saw about his beloved. When Jesus walked through the face of the earth, and God told John the Baptist, he said, listen, I'm going to introduce my son to you. He said, really? That's why you came, to announce him? Really? How will I know him? He said, I will announce him to you and to the world. The Bible says, when Jesus came into the water, as he walked in, said, then the heavens opened. As it opened, there came a voice from heaven. This is my beloved son. Hear ye, in whom I'm well pleased. From this day, notice that God is announcing you to men as his beloved. And because God has accepted you, nobody can refuse you. The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Lift up your hands and give him praise everywhere right now. Yes, I'm his beloved. I'm accepted in his beloved. I cannot be refused by men. No, I have acceptance everywhere because God has accepted me. Glory to God. Oh, give him praise everywhere. Give him praise everywhere. Oh, Ramasi Bra Labas Kibaha Zandesh Zumbra Valida Kaska Baharanigas Zumbra Dila Lahasindo Lahila Brahaskis Zuklar Hiskovra Alanina Sagaras J Parazondro Oscar Brafariskas Ziklaronzo Zozira Hakta Gridos Kovrahas J Prakonzo Zobraskas Lida Andre Ilafronzo Zabriandros Zabriandro Hosabro Nida Rahaskadira. I've exalted my name in your misery, the Lord, and this church will grow so wild and take over every territory. Yes, and I will cause my name to be praised in your midst, and men will not only gather online, they will praise into physical presence. Yes, it is the hour, and everyone here I will glorify, and I will amplify your name and amplify my name in your life, said the Lord. Give him praise everywhere.
We know you've been blessed by this message. All messages by Pastor Martins Omono are available in all video and audio formats for your spiritual upkeep on our media gallery, Life Changers Touch, available for free download on Google Play Store and App Store for Android, iOS and Windows devices, or log on to www.lifechangerstouch.org. You can also visit any of the Life Changers Church closest to you. Your life can take on a new meaning as you follow us on Twitter at LifeChangersTouch. Subscribe to our YouTube page at LifeChangersTouch. Follow us on Instagram at LifeChangersTouch. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/LifeChangersTouch. Be blessed. You are God's best.